you kept those bottle caps as a precious memory of your grandfather all these years, and I just tossed them away. Somebody kick me, please.
Are you handing out numbers?
Come on, come on, come on, Angela. Don't blame yourself. I mean, how were you to know they were so important to me, you know? You could have asked, aren't you?
Tony, we're gonna find those bottle caps.
You really think so?
Cross my heart and hope it to fly.
Okay, come on then. Let's keep looking.
Okay, Sam, you take the stairs. I'll take the chimney.
I'll take the trunk.
I'll supervise.
Up.
I don't want anybody to shirk their duty.
Yes.
All right, let's see. Now, if I found the cigar box there, then I might have thrown the bottle caps here.
Uh-huh.
You found the bottle caps.
Close. Your training bra.
Hello. Welcome back to AOOA, the Who's the Boss podcast. I'm Tori.
I'm Kevin.
And we are here to rewatch and discuss every single episode of Who's the Boss. I don't have any news, but I wanted to bring up something from the last episode we did. In the episode, Angela's being pursued by a few guys, mm-hmm. and I was saying, I wonder if you saw that storyline much on television in the 80s. And then Sunday, I just happened to be in the kitchen when we had Family Ties running on Pluto TV.
Yeah.
Because Sundays is for Family Ties on Pluto TV kitchen. And there was an episode where Alex was dating, and I put that in quotes, a 40-year-old woman. And his parents were very upset about it. And they were very careful to say that they were just friends in the episode because he was 17
right.
and she was 40.
Right, she was saying that she only looked for a friendship or something.
Yeah, because, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, the laws were a little more lenient back then, but that still would be, I mean, a 17-year-old boy with a 40-year-old woman is probably most 17-year-old boys' fantasies, but in reality, that would be considered rape.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it's still a child. Okay. So yeah, I just thought that was interesting. That and Family Ties always kind of was a bit groundbreaking with the stories that they did as well.
Yep.
So it was interesting that that popped up. Today we're going to cover Season 5, Episode 4. The title is Yankee Doodle Maselli. It first aired on Tuesday, November 22nd, 1988.
Oh, Thanksgiving episode.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, giving thanks. While cleaning, Tony dusts off memories of his Sicilian grandfather.
Is that it?
I got distracted because then in parentheses it says Tony Danza in a dual role.
Oh, right. I said that to you earlier. Yeah. I thought that was funny. Tony Danza in a dual role.
All right. What do you have?
Tony is surprisingly deeply upset about the loss of trinket keepsakes of his grandfather, who practically raised him when orphaned. He wasn't necessarily orphaned, was he?
He was not orphaned, and if
I mean,
guy,
I'm just not going to call it this person's thing. I just
right, and he didn't really raise him because he was there for like 2.5 weeks.
I know. Anyway, let me finish.
I'm sorry.
Tony still feels guilty for his rascally rebelling. Then preventing the old man to turn up for his lifelong aspired naturalization. Mona suggests, and Angela tries to, a radical solution. A posthumous ceremony with Tony as proxy, if they can convince young Judge Matthew Hamilton to be so creative.
Nice.
I like that they put the judge's full name in there, Matthew Hamilton.
And I like that it's if he would be so creative.
Right. Anyway.
Okay. So this episode was written by Karen Wengrod and Ken Cinnamon. The heavy hitters are out for this one.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is a very sweet episode. I guess I'm giving it away early that I liked it. But
yeah.
But it is a very touching episode. I think it actually is pretty good for a Thanksgiving episode, even though it doesn't technically deal
Thanksgiving
with Thanksgiving.
Episode. Nothing to do. And that's classic,
classic
Who's the
Who's
Boss?
The Boss. Yeah.
Although their Christmas episodes were Christmas.
Yeah. They skipped a few. We're going to get one this year that is the least liked Christmas episode amongst the fans. When this episode opens, Tony is in the kitchen stretching. He's in a softball uniform getting ready to go play a game. He's listening to a baseball game, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Where the announcer is saying that the bases are loaded. A bunch of stuff I don't understand. 3-2 count.
Mattingly's so it's three balls, two strikes.
Okay. Mattingly's at the plate.
Don Mattingly.
So that's who's
because he would have been big in the 80s.
And that's who's hitting
for the
right
Yankees.
Now?
He was first baseman for the Yankees.
So he's at the plate, meaning he's about to swing the
he's
bat?
He's about staying at the plate with a baseball bat.
Clemens working out of the stretch.
All right, that's the pitcher.
Oh, okay.
He's the pitcher. Roger Clemens played for probably at that time Boston Red Sox.
Now, let me tell you what I noticed about this scene. One, there is an additional spice rack on the counter over here.
Okay.
When we know that there's already a spice rack on the wall next to the Friendship is a Garden.
It's Tony, though.
It is.
He probably uses every one of those spices.
Right. Like, those are maybe just the Italian spices, and these are like all of the other spices.
See?
Then what I notice is that Tony Danza does a quite impressive forward bend, where he's pretty much in half.
Yeah.
Then my mind starts to drift a bit, but then I get it back, and now we're back on the show. Then he stands up.
I could probably do that.
He's very flexible. Really?
I don't know. You'd have to call 911.
Yeah, I'm not doubting that I'm not doubting you
stretch.
Get in the position. I don't know that you could get out of the position. Yeah, I mean, can you bend completely? I cannot do anything that looks like that. But we've already seen him do yoga, so we know that he's very physically fit and he is very flexible. Now, on the table in the kitchen is a bunch of groceries that need to be put away. So he goes over, he's listening to Mattingly about to hit, he picks up a loaf of bread, and then he pretends that he's hitting, and he swings it.
Manhandling the bread.
Yes, and that bread would have totally broken apart.
No, you don't know.
Really?
Well, if it's old, it won't.
Well, there you go. So if it's not going to break apart, you got some stale-ass bread in your kitchen. And then I guess the ball goes far. He's very proud of himself.
He hits a home run.
Oh, okay.
That's what the call says.
Oh,
the baseball. Okay. The announcer said he hits a home run.
Okay, got it. See the tomato? Are those tomatoes or apples?
I don't know.
If those are tomatoes, somebody needs to put them in the cabinet above the refrigerator because that's where the tomatoes go in this house.
That's right.
And he's very excited and he says, and I did that. It's not even a regulation loaf.
Okay. Meaning it's not a regulation bat, right. I guess. It's oh my gosh.
So
he's like running around the kitchen.
He's running
by himself.
Around the kitchen. And he says,
and he's all alone.
Okay. Now his line here is Miceli scores, right? And he's yelling, Miceli scores, right as Mona comes in the kitchen.
Right.
And Mona says, well, pin a rose on your nose.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But why didn't, he left that wide open. Miceli scores. Now, Mona would have come in and made some joke about how he hasn't actually scored in a while.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's...
I feel like that was a missed opportunity.
It was. Another one later that I'll bring up when I brought up to you when we were watching it.
Pin a rose on your nose.
I don't know.
That's
that
garbage.
Must be... Right.
I don't even know what that means. Unless
she's,
that
she's
means
not in
you
the
haven't
mood.
Had sex in a while.
Maybe. But
right.
She's in a mood.
That's
because
the thing.
She's
okay.
Got to clean.
So you're right. So that was the other thing I was thinking is that Mona is in such a bad mood that she's in too bad of a mood to make a mean sex joke to Tony.
That's right.
And he's like, why are you in such a snit? And then you hear Angela off screen say, Mother, time to clean the attic. And now he knows why she's in such a bad mood. She says, does that answer your question?
And pin a rose on your nose basically means nobody cares. It's used in a sarcastic manner that nobody cares.
Oh.
Hannah,
I'm going to bring that back. I mean, I shouldn't because it's just a shitty thing to say to begin
example,
with.
Example, Hannah was bragging about her trip to Europe to me. I told her to put a rose on her nose.
Angela comes into the kitchen and she's like, Mother, you said that you would help us clean the attic. And Mona's holding like Windex and a rag.
I know. What is that?
And she said, I lied. Okay, why? Now, okay. Are they cleaning the attic to, like, help Tony? So now Angela is rallying the family together to do chores on the weekend so that her housekeeper can go to college.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sweet.
And
I like that she's doing it.
Well, which we'll find out in a minute. She's paying Samantha to do her. Right, right. So now she's paying Tony and Samantha to clean.
Samantha comes in and says that she's dusted and dust busted. Mm. And Mona's like, you know, it's bad enough that you work me like a dog, but this poor innocent child. Sam's like, yeah, she's paying me $3 an hour.
Yeah. See?
Yeah. When $3 an hour now is probably like $8 an
yeah,
hour.
Yeah, I bet.
So that was pretty good money for a kid just to clean the attic. So Tony says, all right, clean freaks. Yeah. Let's put all this stuff away so I can go to my softball game.
Right.
So I guess he's telling them to put the groceries away in the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. But that's his job, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's probably Sunday or whatever.
Oh my gosh, is that an eggplant on the...
It is an eggplant, yes. I noticed that earlier.
It's an impressive eggplant.
I know. And you know what I thought when I saw that eggplant?
No.
You know what I thought.
Yeah, I know what you thought.
I want eggplant parmesan.
Oh.
You thought I thought something dirty?
Penis emoji.
Oh, that is a good point. You should know me better.
I know. So, what was the other thing I was going to say? So don't you think if Tony was playing a softball game, everybody would be going to watch?
Yeah, that's true. Unless it's something he does like every Sunday.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. You only go to so many.
But maybe Samantha's getting back at him for the fact that he didn't go to her drill team stuff because that's why he was home alone with Angela.
True.
On that anniversary episode.
True.
And Angela never went to any Jonathan's gymnastics stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
So you're on your own, Tony.
Yep. All right.
Okay, he says this game is going to be rough because they're playing animals, killers, they're murderers. And they're like, who are you playing? He says, Debbie's frozen yogurt. Mm-hmm. I should mention that Tony's softball uniform says Fairfield Tub and Spa.
Yes, that's funny.
So who are these Tub and Spa people? We've never met them.
No, it doesn't matter. That's just the sponsorship of the softball team.
Oh, I figured he was playing with the people from the Tub and Spa.
Oh, he might. Well, no. Well, maybe he plays for their team, but he probably, like back then, even still today, I think softball teams and baseball teams are all sponsored by somebody.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like I used to play in a soccer team when I was a kid, and it was sponsored. Huh. It was like they put the logo on your uniform.
Okay. See, I figured he was just like playing with the group of people from
maybe they just recruited him for the team. Like they have him help something, and then they can have him play. He's so good, you probably would want him on your team.
Now, just then, Jonathan comes in, and he's holding a little, like, old cigar box, and he says, hey, come check out my praying mantis. And then Tony looks at the box and says, where did you get this box? And Jonathan says, in the attic. And then Tony says, what the? It really sounds like he's going to say, what the f***?
I know.
What the? And he goes running over and opens it up. And Jonathan's like, but be careful, he's eating lunch, 2 spiders and a moth. And Tony says, oh, no. Jonathan's like, it's just the way of life, pal. It's nature's way. But Tony's like, no, I'm not talking about the praying mantis. There were bottle caps in this box. Where are they? And Jonathan's like, I don't, beats me. And Angela says, they probably fell out somewhere in the attic. What's the big deal? It's just some bottle caps. But Tony gets very angry. And he's like, don't ever talk about my bottle caps that way again. And he's like, I got to find them. And he goes running out of the kitchen. And you can see as he runs out, his number is 5, and it just says Tony 5 on the back. Mona's still standing there
with
her
Windex. Is that his number when he was in playing baseball?
No, I think it was 24 or 42.
Oh, right.
Mona says, the pressures of suburban softball. And she's still standing there holding the Windex and the rag, doing nothing.
Doing nothing with the Windex.
So then they cut to upstairs in the attic. Tony goes running up there and he's like, okay, guys, stay still. I'll find you. Okay, so let's look around this attic a bit. The main thing that I don't understand what's going on here is there's now the addition of a couple of horns on a coat rack. And I can't tell if it's part of the coat rack or some episode where like Tony was a Viking for one of the Halloween episodes we never saw. Tony was like a Viking or something.
And those are the Halloween episodes we never saw.
Those are the horns from it. And then there's just a lot of frames. Angela, you need to get rid of some of this crap. You're hoarding all this stuff for no reason. You're never going to use these frames up here. And we're going to get to the fact that Mona still has one of her training bras.
I know.
That was in the clip in the open.
I know. We need to talk about that.
Yeah, if I'm ever saving one of our daughter's training bras, just take it from me and burn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have something to say about that scene, too.
All right, we'll get there. Now he's like, okay, you guys stay still. I'll find you. And Angela's like, what is so important about them? And then she sees what she thinks is one on the ground. She's like, oh, I found one. So he goes running over and he grabs it. And he's like, oh, no, this is a Diet Cola from the late 80s. I'm looking for Yoo-hoo late 50s and one orange knee high. Mona says, I have a degree in psychology. Here's a free diagnosis. You're crazy.
That's not nice.
A wacko. I know. That's not nice. And he's like, hardy har har Mona. So he says, my grandfather gave me these caps and they're very important to me. Samantha's like, oh, which grandpa was it? Was it the one with the hair coming out of his nose or the one with the hair coming out of his ears? Tony says, Grandpa Maselli. She's like, oh, the ears. So now Tony starts to tell a story.
She would only know from pictures, I guess.
Yeah, because...
So
obviously.
She could see hair coming out of his ears?
Or Tony just told stories about the hair coming out of his ears.
That makes sense.
So now Tony starts to tell this story in front of some... Okay, what did they just find a bunch of empty frames, the set dressers, and just threw them everywhere?
Yeah, just hang them everywhere. Fill the walls.
Fill the walls with frames with nothing in them. Because like now there's a few behind Tony here.
That happens a lot, or used to anyway.
He tells the story about how his grandfather came from Palermo to take care of him. Because his mom died when he was 7. And she left him and his dad all alone. So this is really tragic. Like, I was thinking about this earlier. Tony's mother died when he was 7.
Right.
Then he gets married, has Samantha. And I'm assuming Samantha was like, I can't. The timeline's very vague.
I know, it's very vague.
But maybe 3, 4, maybe 6. Then he loses his wife. At a young age, and his daughter loses her own mother.
Right.
That's like a lot of, I mean, I know it's a sitcom. Yes, Miles is so upset about it too.
I know
it's a sitcom, but that's really a lot of pain for them to be carrying around.
I know, it is.
It's really devastating. So he says that he remembered when he got off the plane, he was carrying 10 pounds of garlic. And they're like, why 10 pounds? And he says, because the airline restrictions wouldn't let him carry anymore. He had to ship the rest.
Like, why are you bringing so much garlic?
Because he's Sicilian.
Grandpa. Oh, I don't have that scene anyway.
Oh, okay. So Antenna TV cut this part out?
The garlic part.
Oh, interesting.
Not important to them.
Yeah, Antenna TV really chopped this episode up. Okay, so Angela says... There's nothing like a little boy and his grandpa. You must have been crazy about each other. And he's like, no, actually, I hated him. She's like, you hated your grandfather.
He says he hated him at first.
Okay. Wait, what is behind Tony here now?
I have no idea.
Is that some sort of costume?
It looks like a mariachi costume or something. What is going on in this attic?
No, but I'm realizing
there's some baseball bats that makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah, okay, right there. Those are Tony's. Again, why is he holding on to these things?
This is all his side of the room, I guess.
I don't know. I feel like everything is mingled together at this point. Their stuff is more married than they are. He says, I hated him those first few months because he wasn't my mother. Now they cut to a flashback of a little boy sitting on the couch watching TV.
I see who that is.
Yes. Okay, so this actor's name... is Thomas Ian Nicholas. Okay, I was trying to remember what I knew him from because his face looked very familiar to me. And he is a working actor. He's still working today. He's done a lot of guest spots on other stuff, but I realized what I recognize him from is American Pie.
Yes, all the American Pie. I think he's in all the movies, the whole series.
Yes.
Good amount of them.
I think he is the boy who is dating Tara Reid's character.
Yes, he is.
That movie was so sweet. I really enjoyed that movie. It's like over the top, crazy, funny. It still had heart. It was very good. Okay. So that's who this is. Now he's watching Lassie.
Lassie.
When Grandpa Maselli walks through the front door. Now this actor is Tony Danza in a dual role.
Yeah, dual role.
So some decent old man makeup for
the time.
Yeah,
they did a good job. Yeah, I thought the same thing.
Like, it doesn't look like his face is going to fall off or anything.
Right.
Like,
Yeah, they did a really good job with
it. Yeah, it was pretty good. Okay, so he comes in and he's holding a grocery bag full of loaves of bread that just like the ones Tony was just swinging around. And then he's holding some bottles of soda in a little carrier.
Yeah, yoo-hoos and knee-highs.
Yes. He tells Tony to turn off Mr. Ed. And he's like, it's not Mr. Ed, it's Lassie. And he's like, oh, sorry. And then he's like, in Italy, and he's doing an Italian accent that I'm not going to try. He says, in Italy, we only have one show. I love Lucia.
Yeah. Scusi.
Yeah, he keeps saying
Scusi.
When he gets stuff wrong, he keeps saying Scusi. The kid, he tells him to turn off the TV, and he goes and turns the TV off. And he's like, why aren't you outside playing with Philly, Pee-wee, and Joey?
Mm. Didn't know the friendship went that far
back. I know. Philly. So Philly Fingers, Pee-wee, who we've met, and then Joey, I'm assuming, is Mrs. Rossini's kid.
Oh, yeah, probably.
But I feel like Joey would have been a bit younger than him, but whatever. Mm. We're not going to worry about timelines. Because no. I also feel like Philly would have been quite a bit older than him, but maybe that's why he's always getting in trouble. So yeah, but I guess it makes sense that Tony's friendships would go back that far because he's like from a really close-knit neighborhood. Yeah,
the old neighborhood.
And he's like, you know, you shouldn't be sitting in the house just watching TV in the middle of the day. He's putting the groceries away, and he goes to put the oatmeal in a cabinet where his mom didn't keep it. And he tells him, that's not where mama kept the oatmeal.
And he says, scusi.
Yes. And then he goes and sits back down. And Grandpa Tony's really trying. So he's like, how about a special dinner tonight? Anything you want.
Grandpa Tony. It's Matteo.
Oh, sorry. Right. Grandpa Maselli. And he's like, how about even spumoni as the main course? I believe that's ice cream, right?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I should have looked that up. But I think it's I think it's some kind of dessert. As I remember having it as a kid.
Your mother's probably yelling at
the I know.
Radio right now.
Thank goodness my dad doesn't listen to this. So then he goes over and while you look this up, I'll keep going. Then he goes over and he turns on the radio. It's not a dog.
Oh, I think I spelled it. All right, keep going.
He turns on the radio. So now we hear adult Tony doing like a voiceover saying that he remembered how his grandfather used to love to listen to this radio program that played all these patriotic songs. So we're setting up the fact that Grandpa Maselli loved everything American. He loved baseball, the 4th of July, and the Edsel.
Oh, the Edsel.
Yeah, and then he says, he didn't have very good taste in cars.
Yeah, the Edsel was a failed automobile by Ford.
I didn't know that.
It was a fancier car. I read about it. They basically said it was ahead of its time, and it had a lot of problems.
Mm.
I do remember that the shifter was in the steering wheel, and I know you're thinking on the side, most cars had that back then, but literally it was buttons in the middle where the horn went.
Oh, okay.
And you would hit park, you know, drive, whatever.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So. When I was in Georgia with my parents, we went to a car show and I saw a couple of Edsels, but at the time I didn't know to look at the steering wheel.
They're beautiful cars. They're nice looking cars, but they only lasted two years, 1958 to 1960. And Ford silently ended them. They didn't, they just stopped making them. That's what it said in the thing.
We're just never going to talk about
it. And they lost $250 million, which I think it said it was $2.5 billion at the time, you know, comparably speaking.
Yeah. Wow.
So, and Spumoni is gelato.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's so why. You were right. Yes. That's why. Okay. Yes, because there's a Spumoni place in New York that we've gone to on vacation. Okay.
It's not an Italian dog, contrary to popular belief.
Huh. That's an Italian greyhound. Those are adorable. Yeah. So he's listening to this little radio station, and he starts doing an impersonation of someone, and he wants to know if Tony knows who it is. And he says, George M. Cohen. And he's like, oh, it's pretty good, right? So we're setting up that Grandpa loves America. He really mm-hmm. wants to be American. Now, they don't really say at this point how long he's been there, but I'm assuming it's only a couple of months, maybe?
I guess. I wouldn't even say that long.
Yeah,
I feel like it's real recent because of
the
oatmeal blunder.
Oh, right. That's true.
A few months you would have known that's not where the oatmeal goes.
So now, continuing to try to reach out to young Tony, he goes over to the soda pop and he starts popping the tops off. And Tony's like, what are you doing? You're going to let all the fizz out. Now, for some reason, he has three Yoo-hoos and a knee-high. I guess you could mix whatever you wanted.
Yeah, I think that was a common thing in the soda shops.
Like build your own beer little set at the store. And he brings them over and he's like, come here, give me your feet. So he takes his feet and he takes the bottle caps and he pushes them into Tony's shoes. I think after I saw this episode as a kid, I tried to do this and the bottle caps would not stick in my sneakers.
Yeah, I believe that.
So he puts one at the top and one at the bottom. So he's imitating tap shoes and he gets them to get up and come over to with him. Tony doesn't want to do it. And he's like, come on, just try one time for your grandpa. And he says, are you sure I only have to do it this one time? And he says, cross my heart and hope it to fly.
Hope it to fly.
And Tony says, it's die. Mm-hmm. And he's like, never tell an old man to die.
Yeah.
never say die to an old man.
That's right.
And now we hear adult Tony narrating again, saying, you know, the sound the caps made against the linoleum, he really didn't want to like it, but he did. Mm-hmm. So he starts shuffling and stomping with his grandfather and doing a few little tap steps. And then... when he thinks that it's over, he asks him if he wants to do more, and he says he does. So they keep tapping some more. Now we cut to Tony back in the attic, and Mona and Angela are sitting on the trunk listening, and Samantha's sitting there listening. But Samantha looks like she's heard this story at least 14 times before.
Yeah, she's
and
had
is
it.
Completely not interested. She would rather be anywhere here. She might even be falling asleep.
And Jonathan's out playing in traffic.
I know. Why?
Why isn't he here?
Why wasn't Jonathan allowed to be in this scene? Like,
I don't know. Maybe there were rules for how many hours a day he could work or something. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like at this point, I don't really know, but it seems odd that there'd be that much of a difference in the rules between Alyssa Milano and him at this point. He's not like a toddler or anything. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need a nap. So Angela's like, oh man, you know, just think, you kept these bottle caps your whole life as this memory of your grandfather, and I just tossed them away.
And how does she not know where she tossed them? Either she knows she threw them away or she didn't. She didn't just dump them on the floor like a... Here, you want this box, Jonathan? And just dump them all over the place.
All right. Because if she had dumped them on the floor, they would have found them by
now. Right.
And I mean, I guess at that, maybe she didn't even realize it was something that was Tony's. Like, she just found this weird cigar box with a few bottle caps in it.
Sure.
And, I mean, I could see how you would think that that's junk. And then she says, somebody kick me. And Mona says, are you handing out numbers? No.
I don't think that's in this one.
Thanks, Mom. Oh, really?
No.
Oh, okay, yeah. Antenna TV really chopped this up. Or wherever they got this syndicated version from. Tony's like, oh, come on, Angela, don't blame yourself. How are you supposed to know that they were that special to me? And then under his breath says, you could have asked. Angela says, all right, we're going to find those bottle caps. You know what's cute is that Angela and Mona are kind of holding hands as they're sitting on that trunk together, which is sweet because we don't often see them be very physically affectionate with each other.
No, not at all.
I almost feel like that's just Judith Light reaching over and holding Catherine Hellman's hand as they do this scene more than it's even Angela and Mona. So she says, we're going to find those bottle caps. And he's like, you really think so? And she says, cross my heart and hope it to fly. I think I am going to take that one. I think we need to, I'm going to adopt
cross
that
one.
Cross
my heart and hope to fly.
Yep. So they're like, okay. So everybody gets up and starts moving. They're like, I'll go here, you go there. And then Mona says, I'll supervise.
Yeah.
And he's
I'm going to not work again.
Right. So Angela's retracing her steps. Okay, I found the cigarette box here. Then I might have thrown them there. And then you hear Mona go, aha! And Angela says, you found the bottle caps? And Mona says, no, close. Your training bra.
No, oh, it's terrible. She's comparing the training bra to bottle caps. Right? Because that's the joke.
Right,
it's the
that's
same
a joke.
Size.
And it's the tiniest little, I mean, obviously it's for a child, but it's the tiniest little training bra. It's so cute. Is that what you were going to bring up earlier, though?
Yeah,
that she was comparing her to bottle caps? Of course. Of course Mona's going to get that dig
Not
in.
Nice.
No. And honestly, I don't think Angela's bra size has changed much since then. So as Samantha's looking around, she says to Tony, "What does a yoo-hoo look like?" And then she's like, "Yoo-hoo," to get his attention.
Mm-hmm.
But yoo-hoo has been around this whole time, hasn't it? I know it has.
It's still around.
Yeah, I don't understand why she wouldn't know what a yoo-hoo looked like. I know. Unless, yeah, that was odd.
I loved yoo-hoo in high school. I was drank yoo-hoos.
Yeah. Did it not come in a bottle anymore, maybe?
No, it still did. Yeah. It did when I was in high school.
What is yoo-hoo? Is it like Sunny Delight it's where it's not chocolate really chocolate
drink.
Milk?
Yeah, it's
chocolate
not milk. Drink. It's just chocolate drink. But it's so good cold.
Right. Just
I
like,
haven't had one in a long time. I should find them.
Sunny D is not orange juice. Not orange juice.
That's, yeah. Yes, that's the equivalent to chocolate milk.
Yeah. Okay, so then Tony's lost in thought as he's holding a piece of paper. So Sam's like, "What are you looking at?" And he's like, "Oh, nothing." And then Angela notices that it's a U.S. citizenship test. And she says that. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, it was my grandfather." So they're like, "Oh, let's look." And now he wants to change the subject.
Yep.
So he's like, "Come on, let's just keep looking for the cap." So Samantha takes it, and she's looking at all the questions, and she's like, "Wow, he aced it." And then she says, "Talk about a brain. He even knew who Lyndon Johnson was."
Wow.
Now, I don't just get that joke. So is it like a joke that Lyndon Johnson's just not someone that people know who he is?
Or I don't know, is it but that Lyndon, wasn't Lyndon Johnson the who took over for Kennedy? Wasn't he the vice? The 36th U.S. president.
Yeah, but I'm like, I was wondering if the joke is just that like he's a president that nobody ever remembers or cares about, or
he
is
served
the joke
as the 37th vice president from 1961-63 under President John F. Kennedy. Johnson's presidency began following the assassination of President Kennedy.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
So, but I guess maybe he wasn't memorable.
That's what I'm wondering if that's the joke, or is the joke that everybody knows who Lyndon B. Johnson is, except for me and Samantha.
No.
And so that she's just being dumb.
I mean, he was only the president until 63, I
yeah,
guess.
So maybe so he just
only two
was
years,
like,
a year
okay,
and a half.
That's the, like that. Must be the joke. Okay. So then they're looking at the paper, and Angela's like, "Oh, look, even the way he signed his name is just like yours." And they say, "Illegible."
Illegible.
So Tony takes the paper, and he's like, "Look, this is history. Let's just keep it history." And Angela says, "I don't understand. I thought you wanted mementos of your grandfather. But now he wants to just stop talking about this." And he's like, "I got a game to play, so let's just forget about it, and I'll see you later." So he leaves. And Angela's kind of looking at Samantha and Mona like she doesn't understand what went wrong. So we cut to a little while later. I'm disappointed that we didn't get some sort of like zoom in from the outside of the house to let us know that time has passed.
Time, right.
But I'm guessing it's been a couple hours. And one, I'm proud of Angela for still working to clean out the closet, but she's doing a bad job of actually looking for the bottle caps.
I know.
Because now she's just going through a box of stuff she should probably get rid of.
She probably just started going down memory lane and just forgot to look for the caps.
Yes. So she finds her high school yearbook, and she's like, "Oh, my high school yearbook." And then she looks at a picture, and she goes, "Ugh," and she closes it and puts it down. Then she finds Jonathan's first tooth.
Yeah, I don't have any of this either.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no.
Which makes
sense. Sounds right. Does it just start where Tony comes up?
Tony walks up. Okay. Yeah.
Then she finds three cards, and she's like, "Oh, Mother's Dance Card." And then Mother's Dance Card. And then Mother's Dance Card.
Wow.
So yeah, Mona saved three of her dance cards. Now, I meant to look up what a dance card is.
I looked it up.
Oh, good.
It's, according to the Wikipedia, a dance card is used by a woman to record the names of the gentlemen with whom she intends to dance each successive dance at a formal ball.
Okay. Yeah, that's
pretty. But I guess their joke is it's several gentlemen.
Well, it's. I think
she had a lot of dance cards.
Well, no, because you would only have one dance card per dance, but she just saved all her dance cards. And like, I guess, I don't know. She was just proud of all the men that she danced with that night.
I suppose.
I've heard of that in like some historical romance novels and non-romance historical novels where the girls go to the dance. And so I figured that's kind of what it was, but I wasn't actually.
Well, but on here, it's in modern times, the modern times expression of dance card is often used metaphorically as when someone says, "Pencil me into your dance card," meaning find some time to spend with me.
Okay. When's the last time in modern times you heard someone say, pencil me into your dance card?
I don't know.
Tony Maselli would say it, I bet.
Yeah, I bet he would.
So just then, Tony comes up the stairs of the attic. And he says, hi, Angela. And she says, oh, hi. Sorry you lost your game. It's like, how'd you know we lost? And she's like, well, because you came in and you said, hi, Angela, instead of, yo, Angela.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally forgot to mention earlier that in the kitchen, when Samantha comes in and says that she dusted and dust busted, Angela goes, all right.
Oh.
She does the all right that Tony does and that Samantha did that time. So it's spreading in the house. It's so cute. I love that she's starting to take on some of his little sayings as well. So he's like, oh, wow, you really do know me. Okay, here, I got distracted here because now Tony Danza is wearing the same uniform that he was before, but it's all dirty.
Right.
So I tried to think, did they have two outfits and one was the dirty one and one was the clean one? Or did someone pat him down with dirt in between the last scene and this scene?
Good question.
I landed on that they had two. And my thought process was because they would have to have a clean one because they did two tapings.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah, they did the dress rehearsal and they taped it and then they did the actual show and they taped it. So it probably would have been easier to have a clean one and a dirty one instead of having two clean ones that you then have to make dirty.
Yeah, that makes more
sense. In case you need the clean one again. But I don't know. It'd be great to talk to someone who didn't know. So she's like, do you want to talk about it? And he's like, yeah. And he starts telling her all the bad things that happened during the game. And she's like, that's not what I meant. And he's like, yeah, I know. So he decides that he's going to tell her the story about what happened with his grandfather. He says, I did something terrible. And because of me, my grandfather never became an American citizen. So we're going to go to another flashback here. He says, it was 1964 and I was 13. Okay, so I'm so dumb. I just realized right now this is a different actor.
No, I actually did notice it was.
So 6 years has gone by. Okay, so he did practically raise him. I was thinking that this all happened like really soon after his grandfather got there, which is why I was confused as to why he would say
that. No, it took a long time for him to become a citizen.
Right. So, yes. Okay. So, this is 6 years later, and this is a different actor. Okay. So, now, yes, they go to a flashback, and the grandfather is getting ready to go to his swearing-in ceremony. And Tony says he even got a brand new suit. Do you not have this part?
No, he got
he got a suit cleaned.
Got
sorry.
A suit cleaned.
And he even got a brand new tie. And Tony's like, boy, was that tie ugly. So they show Tony Danza as Matteo Maselli, like getting himself dressed and putting on his tie and being very excited. So the front door opens and a little kid comes in and it's little Tony. And he says, hey, Grandpa. And Grandpa Maselli is like, oh, I'm so glad you're home because now we're not going to be late. And he says, and then a police officer comes in behind him.
He says, I think we're going to be late.
Yeah, yeah. So we are going to be late. So he says, the officer says to Matteo Maselli, guess who I caught stealing street signs again? And he's like, you know, I let it slide once, I let it slide twice, but three times and it's too much. And so Grandpa says to Tony, like, why did you steal the sign? Why did you steal the sign, Tony?
Right.
And we know this isn't going to end unless this is the time that he put easy access under the one girl's window, which is horrible. And Tony says, Philly Fingers made me do it.
Oh, boy. Philly Fingers right under the bus.
I know. Yep. And he's like, why would he make you steal the sign? And he's like, because he needed a present for Mother's Day. Okay, so this was a different sign. So he's still going to steal more street signs even after this.
Well, yeah. Old habits never die. And then Philly Fingers is giving his mother a street sign for Mother's Day.
I know. What do you think that street sign said?
I don't know.
It was a maybe it was a subway sign with her name on it.
Maybe.
Like her name is the street or something. So the grandfather's like, listen, what are you doing? You're in a place where you can make something of yourself. And Tony's like, I'm not good at anything. But the grandfather's like, no, you're good at baseball. And little Tony's like, sure, the Yankees are knocking down my door. And Grandpa's like, you know, not right now, but they could. And then he says, look at me. I've wanted to become an American citizen my whole life. And now I'm finally going to have that dream come true today. But Tony's like, it's easier to become an American citizen than a baseball player. And I love that the officer's just standing there.
Listening the whole time.
This. Yeah. And Grandpa Maselli is like, yeah, okay, well, that's true. But look at Joe DiMaggio. He's a Yankee. He's famous. He's rich. And then little Tony's like, yeah, and he's Italian. And he's like, yes, that's right. So we hear Tony narrate, older Tony say, on Grandpa's list of the three greatest American heroes, Joe DiMaggio came just under George M. Cohen.
Mm.
And then Angela says, who came next? And he says, Marilyn Monroe. She was also 4 through 10. So Grandpa really liked Marilyn Monroe. He really liked Marilyn Monroe. Yeah, and the antenna TV one does not have that conversation, have that, right?
Yeah.
So the officer is finally like, look, I can't stand here all day and listen to your dumb stories, so I'm going to give you a choice. Either we call the punk's father, and Grandpa's like, hey, you're not going to call him a punk. And he's like, okay, well, then we either call the young gentleman's father, and he has a talk with the captain, or I'm going to take him down and put him in jail.
And lock him up.
Lock him up. And Grandpa says, you know, I don't want you to tell the dad because he spends a lot of his time, you know, trying to support this little punk. So it's okay for Grandpa Maselli to say it.
That's right.
So Grandpa Maselli says, what if I go instead of my son and go down to the station? Okay, but Grandpa, you should have just let this kid sit. Obviously, he's not learning. So let him go sit in jail for a little bit.
Yeah, really?
Go to your swearing-in ceremony and then go get his little ass out of jail.
Yeah, make him learn a lesson.
Yeah. But Grandpa's like, yeah, you know, who's going to miss me? The widow Tuscarino? She flirts with any man who has their own teeth.
Gosh. Well.
It was his Mona.
Yeah.
He's like, don't worry, there's going to be a ceremony next month anyway, so we'll just go to that one. And he said, we're going to go down to the station, and we're going to talk about how to get you to behave. And if you don't behave, I'm going to send you to my brother Vincenzo's in Sicily.
You know what's cool about this scene here?
What?
Is they updated the TV. It's not the big ginormous box. It's like a more...
Yes.
70s or whatever style TV.
If only I would have paid attention to any of this the three times I watched it. But
no, I just now noticed it myself. It's all right.
Well, I mean, I didn't even notice the actor was different. But in my defense, a lot of the times I will listen to the episode many times while doing other stuff.
Right.
And so I didn't pay enough attention to actually who was playing that role. Okay, so now they go back to, that is a cute touch though. I wonder if I would have paid attention more, we could have really broken down like what they changed in this apartment, but it's too late now.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
So they fade back to present day Tony, and he says, you know, a couple weeks later, he was arguing the price of a bell pepper with a vegetable man when he bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And Angela says, he bought the pepper? And he says, no, he died. And then she says, oh, I'm so sorry.
See, they don't do that in this.
No, the antenna TV version, she understands what bought it means and just says, I'm so sorry.
Why?
But it's, I don't know, to cut an extra 2 seconds so we can have a really depressing commercial from the ASPCA or whatever.
Yeah, right.
So we can watch these sad dogs in cages for 45 seconds.
I know.
Okay, so he says he died before the next swearing-in ceremony, so he never got to be a citizen.
Mm.
Now they go to later that night, possibly the next day, who knows, and Mona's sitting in the living room in her bathrobe. And at first you were like, go to your own house.
I know, what are you doing?
But it looks like Mona and Angela actually made plans to like watch a movie together.
Because, yeah, I think it's later that night.
Okay, yeah, probably. And Angela comes out with popcorn and what looks like two sodas on a tray. I mean, she's
getting
wild. Yeah. It's so funny how sitcom characters, too, always like have a presentation. Like, if we were watching a movie, would you really bring popcorn and two sodas on a tray? No, we would just get our own damn sodas and then...
Right, and then bring them in.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Angela says, Mother, I've been thinking about life. And Mona says, is this Orville Redenbacher or that generic stuff?
I love it. It's Mona.
Not at all paying attention to Angela. And then she's like, it's the generic stuff. And then she comes around and she's like, there's nothing worse than in the world than missed opportunities. And Mona says, is this butter substitute or real butter? And Angela's like, it's real. And then she's trying to get her to understand. She's like, don't you ever wish that you could change the past? And Mona says, yes, I would have seen Cats with the original Broadway cast.
It's a great line, but I think the funnier line would have been, yes, I wish I could go back and buy the Orville Redenbacher popcorn.
I agree. I think that would have been very funny because it was a callback right to there. Like, the Cats thing kind of comes out of nowhere. But I know,
but
it
is like vague. It is Mona, like, she has no emotion there. Right. Like, oh, I would have. True. You know what I mean? So yeah. I get it. I get why it was
But
used.
The Redenbacher would have worked too. I know. Because
that would have been even more.
But I'm sure at the time that Cats joke landed a little better, probably.
Because the later cast was terrible or something. Right, or not as good as the original.
There was probably something about that
exactly.
Was funnier.
That's true. That's true. At the time.
So Angela says, Mother, what would make a guy who's feeling really down feel a whole lot better? And Mona's just
quiet for a minute, looking around, like, well.
Eating popcorn. And she says, I don't think you're willing to do that, dear. And Angela almost still doesn't get it, but then she's just like, okay, I'm done with you. Like, you're not listening to me. And she just completely ignores the joke and keeps going, right? Totally frustrated. She says, I just can't stand to see Tony in so much pain. And Mona's like, yeah, guilt stinks, you know, but it's done and there's nothing he can do about it. So he just needs to learn to live with it. But Angela doesn't want to take that for an answer. She's like, it's so unfair. He was a 7-year-old motherless little boy and he did one thing wrong. Oh, I guess at that time he was 13. She doesn't say the age. He was a motherless little boy and he did one thing wrong and he's been kicking himself for it for years. Mona's like, well, if you could have best case scenario, what would it be? She says, for Grandpa Maselli to become an American citizen. And then Mona's like, well, okay, then do that. And Angela's like, he's dead. And Mona says, oh, dead people. Okay, so here's the part you don't have. Mona says, so what? Dead people win awards. They get pardoned for crimes. Look at King Tut. He's been dead for 5,000 years, and he's still on tour. She says, it's a whole new world out there for dead people. You know, the thing about this scene, watching it now with Katherine Hellman no longer being alive, it's, I don't know, like, it's not eerie, or, and I don't know, it just touches me in a different way because I know that Katherine Hellman is now.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't really necessarily think anything happens after you die, but she knows now whatever happens. And if nothing happens, then she knows that too. You know? Like, I don't know. Right, it's just weird to see an actor who's no longer here talking about death this way. And Angela says, Mother, you are strange. And Mona's like, yes, yeah, strange but smart. You can't tell me you've never heard of posthumous naturalization. And Angela says, I haven't. And Mona says, me neither.
She's making things up.
She says, but if a dead man can get a pardon, he should be able to become an American citizen. And she's like, you know, he'll be able to do everything. He just won't be able to vote. Except in Chicago.
Yes. Which so, we then looked at.
Yeah. And it says that Chicago is famous for its history of people voting from the grave. And I guess there was controversy during the 1960 election with President John F. Kennedy.
Yes, but I think that was going on all over the place with that election.
Yeah, it says JFK beat Richard Nixon by 9,000 votes in Illinois and by capturing what some considered a suspiciously high 450,000 advantage in Cook County.
All right.
Sounds like 2021. What was that? Was that 2020 that happened? What is time? Last year's election. Okay. So they now cut to and the outside of a building, which I wish I knew what that building was.
Fancy courthouse.
And Tony and Angela are at the courthouse. So I love how this season is setting up this little pattern of like Tony and Angela working together. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're going to kind of see this happen. Well, we've seen it before where they've gone to the principal's office together and stuff. Right. But this is really cute. So they're sitting in an office waiting for a judge to appear. And Tony's like, you know, Angela, if this posthumous thing works, it's a great idea. And Angela's like, well, ideas are my business. So then in walks this very young-looking judge. And he says, hi, I'm Judge Hamilton. And they're both just kind of sitting there staring at him. And he's like, I believe you're supposed to rise when I come into a room. Mm. So they do. They stand up. And then he sits down. And he's like, okay, you can sit. And then Angela says, but you're so young.
I know. Just kind of funny.
And he says, but you're still supposed to sit.
Yeah.
This actor is...
Yeah, what else did he do?
Yeah, John Fury, mm-hmm. I believe. But the interesting thing is that he was born in April of 1951. So he's pretty much Tony Danza's age.
Mm-hmm.
But he does look younger than Tony Danza here. But I guess just the joke is that he's like a 30-something-year-old judge.
Right, exactly. Because
they're older.
Right.
He started acting in 1976. He's done a lot of stuff, but nothing that I really think we would recognize him from. He was on Days of Our Lives.
All My Children.
And All My Children, yeah. But it says like he's known for one Friday the 13th Part 2.
Mm, okay.
And the picture is, I think, him getting a bag put over his head in that movie.
Okay, yeah, that's a great picture.
But yeah, so I don't know that he's...
Yeah, you're right. It's ridiculous. That's funny.
Okay, so he's like, okay, so... Wait, I got to talk about the way Angela/Judith sits down here. So Tony's already sitting, and then Angela says, but you're so young. And then he's like, yeah, but you're still supposed to sit. And then Tony kind of reaches for her, and then Judith just falls back into this chair.
It almost looks like he pushes her now.
I know. Like, I don't know if she just misjudged, like, how close the chair was or how far the chair was, but it's funny how she just kind of plops into the chair. Okay, and he's looking over his notes. He's like, it looks like Mrs. Bauer, and I'm assuming that's you, has requested Mr. Maselli, which I'm assuming that is you, to become an American citizen. And Tony's like, actually, no, that's my grandfather. And he's like, okay, well, great. Where is he? And he says, he's under an oak tree in Sleeping Meadows. The judge is like, he's dead? And he's like, yes, yeah. And but Angela's like, but he did pass the requisite test. So she puts that on the desk so he can see it. So he looks it over and Tony's like, he just didn't make it to the swearing-in ceremony. And Tony's like, you can't, oh, you've heard of posthumous naturalization, right? And he says, which one of you thought that up? And he points to Angela. And then she says, actually, it was my mother. And then Tony looks nervous. He's like, wait a minute. If this was Mona's idea, this may not be such a good idea.
Right. Like, yeah. I think he maybe thought it was a real thing.
Right.
Till now.
So the judge is like, I'm really sorry, but my docket's full of live people. So he wants them to leave. But Tony's like, wait a minute, you know, listen. And he tries to figure out a different tactic now to get this guy to understand. So he asks him, you know, haven't you ever done anything that you really regretted when you were a kid? And he says, no. And he's like, all right, well, maybe you can understand this anyway. So he's like, you know, some little man with a funny accent moves into your house and tries to be your mother. And he tells you to clean behind your ears and eat oatmeal. And he's always nagging you to try and be somebody. And the funny thing is that you end up being some. You end up having the cleanest ears in town and you end up being somebody. I still hate oatmeal, but that's another story. I feel like there's an episode where Tony makes everyone eat oatmeal, so I feel like he didn't hate oatmeal until now.
Yeah, all of a sudden.
Yeah, just like his swimming issue that'll come up later. And he's like, what I'm trying to say is that my grandfather taught me how to dream, and so I'm just really hoping that you can help me fulfill one of his dreams today. And Angela's tearing up.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that.
She's finding this all very touching. And the judge is like, but there's no statute to cover this request. And Angela jumps in and she's like, you're a judge. You know, you can set a precedent. I wouldn't be surprised if this, you know, made history and you were appointed to the Supreme Court. And she's like, that was one too many, wasn't it? And he's like, yeah, yeah, but I won't hold it against you. So he says, so you're going to be the proxy, pointing to Tony. And Tony's like, oh, you're going to do it? And he's like, yeah, I was going to do it right after your speech, but she jumped in there anyway.
I know, right? Of course, Angela.
I could have sworn when I saw this episode originally that they like flashed between young Tony and old Grandpa Maselli here during this scene, but it doesn't happen. So I don't think it did.
That seems familiar though.
Yeah. I don't know why I have that in my head. Mm. So then the judge tells Tony to put up his right hand. So he's holding up his hand and then he goes to read the name. And he's like, I can't read this name. It's illegible. So Tony says it's Matteo Maselli. So he starts to do the whole swearing in, you know, with him, blah, 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 uphold the Constitution and laws of the United States against all enemies.
It's a fancy trucking shot.
It is. Yes. It's a nice little truck.
It was on a track.
Yeah. Angela's just kind of watching, and you can tell that she's very touched, and Tony's very touched, and I think even the judge is a bit touched. So then he tells, at the end, he tells Tony, welcome to America.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah. And then Tony's like, it's a great place to be, thanks, or a great country. Then the judge gets up to leave, and he says, now if you'll excuse me, I have this overwhelming desire to call my grandfather. And he leaves. So Tony's just kind of staring at the certificate of his grandfather, and he's so excited. He's like, Angela? And she says, yes, Tony? And he says, I thank you. My father thanks you. My mother thanks you. And most of all, Grandpa Maselli thanks you.
Mm-hmm. Matteo.
Yeah. And then she's all, like, this is a very sweet hug. This hug here might as well be a kiss. Like, a kiss would have been very inappropriate at this moment.
Right.
Even though they tend to just kiss for no reason. But this hug is just so sweet. Like, it's a very intimate hug. And they're really showing, like, last week, they told, no, I'm sorry, 2 weeks ago, they told us that Angela and Tony are now best friends. And, like, they're really showing us that Angela and Tony are now best friends. Because they pretty much share everything. So he gives her the big hug, and they fade out to black. Okay, now, in the tag, Samantha and Tony are coming down the stairs, and he's begging her, like, come on, just try it one time. And Sam's like, people don't do this anymore, Dad. And he's like, no, it'll be fine. I'll keep it simple. So they get down to the bottom of the stairs, and he does a little tap routine. And he's not keeping it simple. That was a pretty serious
It was.
Little
Very Tony.
Yeah. For someone, if she doesn't take tap at all. And he's like, I'll keep it simple so you can follow along. So then she looks down, she does follow along perfectly, and then she stomps on his foot. Mm-hmm. And he's like, ah, and then
And you can tell, like, she's genuinely laughing.
Yeah.
You know, that's funny.
Yeah, it was cute. I know that they used to, Tony Danza would have the kids, actually, I think he had everyone do it, but the kids especially do a little tap routine with him for the audience at all the tapings.
Oh.
And I remember seeing that tap routine make it onto the show at some point. But that is not it. So now, I don't know. And for some reason, in my head, I'm picturing Samantha with short hair doing it. So I don't know if we're going to see it again and we'll see the tap routine that they used to do.
Oh, maybe.
Or if that's the only time we see tap and I'm confused. So we'll find out. We've got 3 seasons to find out. 3¾.
Wow.
And that's it. That's the episode.
All right.
Okay, I'll go first with rating.
Okay.
I really liked this episode, and I gave it a 7.
Okay.
I know last time I gave it a 7.5, but my 0.5 was for Judith Light's fantasticness. But I feel like this was a solid 7 episode.
Okay.
The reason I'm bringing that up is I'm not saying that like 19 again is so much better than this episode. I feel like they're both really good episodes. This season's off to a pretty decent start. I was not excited about watching this one at all. And then I liked it way more than I did.
Yeah.
I thought I would. Yeah.
All right. Is that all you got?
That's all.
Okay. All right. So I agree. I think it's a solid 7. I thought overall it was a good episode, and it kind of did like a little flashback. I think those are always neat to see. You know, Tony gets to see Tony as a kid,
right.
Quote unquote. Yeah, yeah. And then Tony did a really good job playing Matteo. Mm-hmm. The makeup job was actually pretty good for the 80s. I
mean, yeah.
That's, you know, they did a really good job making him look bald and doing all that stuff. So,
I just cringe a bit at the accents, but it was
fine. I know, me too, but it wasn't too bad.
No.
He did all right,
yeah.
Considering.
And I mean, it's an accent he's heard a lot in his life.
So. Right. So, he did a good job with it.
Yeah.
And then the little Tonys did a good job too.
Yeah.
Some of the jokes were funny, you know,
the
Lyndon Johnson joke and then the Chicago voting and, I mean, all like timely for right. the time, mm-hmm. you know.
I will say it would have been nice to see Jonathan a little more in this episode, mm. or at least again after coming in with the
pregnant. I agree. I do agree.
unless there was some reason why they couldn't use him that much.
Who is the boss around here? Me or my mother? Or maybe it's you?
I don't know if you're going to agree with my boss. I went with Mona.
Oh, okay.
Because I know she wasn't in it much and she didn't have a lot of great lines or anything, but it was her idea for them to go to the courthouse and get to for the posthumous naturalization.
Yeah. No.
So and she's the one who put that idea, and Angela was trying so hard to
right.
like find a way to make him happy and get, and this is, you know, and just like that in about a 45 second long scene right. or whatever, Mona came up with an idea how to do it, yeah. and then she's out, you know, eating her generic popcorn. No. So I think it was Mona.
I agree, and I don't want you to think that I changed my vote because I wrote Mona right here earlier, okay. and I haven't typed anything in a while. Oh, okay.
All right,
so,
good.
So, yes, I totally agree. No, I wouldn't think you would.
I know you'd stick to your guns.
No.
Okay, I thought you thought you would think it was weird that it was Angela.
Yeah, I mean, Angela is his support, but you're right. This Angela was never going to come up with this idea.
No.
Like, if anything, she was going to go find some old bottle caps at a pawn shop or, right, something,
or something
and try to, like, pass them
off.
Oh,
they never did find the bottle cap.
I know they didn't, unless they did at some point in the original run episode, right. and we don't know it. But, yeah, as far as we know, they never found the bottle caps.
Wouldn't cool if Jonathan would have come running in at the end when he's like, he found the bottle caps.
Oh, yeah. Jonathan could have saved the day by finding the bottle caps.
That's what he was doing the whole time when he was not in any of the
right.
scenes.
He was out. He was looking through the garbage.
For bottle caps.
He just comes in completely covered in garbage and holding the four bottle caps.
That would have been awesome.
That actually. Would have been fantastic. Okay, so you can reach us at Who's the Boss Podcast on Instagram, or go to Who's the Boss Pod 1 on Twitter. I don't know. Really don't go there. I barely update that anymore.
Yeah.
On Facebook, though, I do update, and that's the Who's the Boss Podcast page, or go to anchor.fm/WTB Podcast. All right. So the next episode we're going to cover is called A Jack Story. And I really like this one.
Oh, okay.
This is going
to
be.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah. This is going to be. And it's relationship heavy in a way that we really see Tony be jealous for the first time, like really jealous. So,
oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's a good one. All right.
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. All right.
That's it.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye.
If you like this podcast, please subscribe and give a big thumbs up and tell all your friends. And maybe you can tell your grandma, your mother, and your sister or brother. Maybe have no siblings. Tell your dog and cats. Bye.